Rest.
Monday at lunch, the 14th of June. Channel 1.
I got me a big old. You see them that's got that thing behind them? I got me a great big old piece of skin. And I beat on the walls, you know. And Marvin, he will put down dog feed in my house. And leave puppy feed around for Cindy. And it just draws them in. And that calf milk, I get up and I kill them.
That calf milk drawn to them?
Yes, sir. Anything that, any kind of feed.
Yeah.
Will draw them.
And you see them on the...
On the wall and on the floor, and I just give him a smack.
Open a drawer and there's one everywhere you look.
That's right.
ASCS newsletter.
Yeah, Marvin's always getting them things.
Let's see now. All summer cover should be planted by June the 30th. You're going to get all yours in, your programs finished by June the
30th? No, sir.
Good Lord, this is not sweet corn. This is field corn, isn't it?
Okay. Roasting here. Miss Mary has a blessing to say for us.
Wish you were.
Do you say blessings? Yes, ma'am. Thank the Heavenly Father for these and all the blessings we receive through the name, amen. Nice to have somebody to make it civilized. Oh.
Yeah. This mule corn.
You know, we got a new preacher.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard him.
You know, every now and then I think about that that homecoming we went to. We really had a time.
They got the church house looking real nice.
That's Ms. Dufresne's committee.
Who are you talking about, Ms. Hope?
Yeah.
Ms. Hope didn't have anything to do with it. Me and Marvin bought the stuff.
Yes.
But Mr. Hope had this, our preacher put out and her preacher put in.
Oh.
How'd she do that?
Because her and the DS is...
Her and the what?
Her and the DS, the DS.
Oh, yes.
Does just like she wants him to do.
Oh, really? This corn is even too hot to cut, much less to eat. Oh, that's right. The DS has a hand in that, don't he?
Oh, yeah.
And that's where she has her hand.
And she don't even belong to this church.
She belongs to Gainesville?
Belongs to the church in Gainesville. First Baptist Church, I think.
I forget who the preacher was.
Daniels. But Dick was, let me see, who was out there when you went? Was it Daniels or Dick?
No, it was Rogers. He come back.
Oh yeah, he came back and preached.
Mm-hmm. But now the regular one was that too.
Mm-hmm. Daniels.
I've forgotten about him. Rogers is. He's a little bitty short fella, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But up in the pulpit, he looks big.
Hmm.
He's nice.
I thought he preached a good sermon that day.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Don't remember, he started off sort of weak.
Mm-hmm.
But he got going as he went.
That's right. These are delicious beans. This is my favorite bean.
I remember that you liked them.
What did y'all do to the house?
We sealed it inside with this paneling.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You mean you're talking about church house?
Yes, sir.
Took out what was in it?
No, sir. Just put the paneling over the old sealer.
Okay.
Well, golly, that took a lot of paneling.
You might be right. And I was going to put new windows in it, the sawn-in type. And I ain't going to spend another dime on it. Let Miss Hope do it.
Will she do it?
No, not unless somebody will give her the money to do it with.
Hmm. And you put in that pen?
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful.
We had a big day that day, didn't we? I won't forget that in a long time. I made a few blunders. I kept thinking to myself, oh, any church is fortunate to have somebody who can stand up and pray.
Yeah.
And make announcements.
Wish you could have heard him last Sunday night. It was a week ago. He got up and made two talks. You know, it don't do anybody any good to hide the meanness, does it? Mr. Willis and I and Marvin and Mr. Well, somebody else, Mr. Irving Norman was standing out in the yard talking. And they're talking about moonshine, I believe it was. And I said, you know, I drank a can of malted liquor yesterday, and that was the best drink I ever drank. And Mr. Orman said, you know something? Said, my daddy used to have it in the house all the time. And I never yet got to see him drunk. We got home and was fixing to go to bed. Marvin said, you know, it don't do anybody any good to tell a lie. He said, Irving Norman ought to tell the truth about that thing. He said, I seen his old daddy just as drunk as a fool.
Don't you have a knife?
No, I'm looking for the salt. Don't get up now.
Yes, I'm right here, Miss Mary.
It's right here.
You know, I
don't see what makes anybody want to hide anything, and
I didn't get that. What was what Marvin said?
He said said Irving Norman ought to tell the truth about it. Said he lied. Said his old daddy used to get just a drunk. Irving Norman, they tell me, makes it and sells it.
He don't get drunk on
it. Irving Norman, I don't know about that.
I don't see how he can do it right there in the neighborhood, Miss.
They're telling me so. I've heard them tell, had them tell me that he got a still going full force.
Yeah.
Not right there at Webster.
Oh, it's not right there.
Oh, no.
Well, I had the idea it was right there in his house. Well, that was my,
Yeah, I was going to sing.
And what Marvin say? He says, you may not be able to get all the way in. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I was impressed. He was the most impressive one of all of them out there that Sunday. See, I never been there.
Haven't you always heard tell of old empty wagon going down the road and always make a louder noise than the one that was loaded?
Yeah. I just sat back there and thought how fortunate that little that little church was.
It would really be fortunate without him. And you know what gets me is that some of them poor old niggers there at Winster ain't got no way to go. And he be going to Hawthorne. And he'll take them. But when he gets there, he stands right in the store till they give him his money. And then he'll get right up there in the pulpit, up there on Sunday night, and tell about that he'll pick up so-and-so, that poor old darky down the road there. He didn't have no way to go. And he makes them darkies pay him to take them. Go out of his way to carry him to Hawthorne. To do him accommodation. He makes them paid so much ahead.
Well, he sure talks well, Miss. Mm-hmm. You have to hand it to him, won't you? Oh, I thought he was way under here.
You know what I told him the other day? He wanted me to be sure and come back to church. I said, I don't know if Marvin and I'll ever go back out there again or not. I said, you know something? I said, there ain't a dab of religion in that church. And he stood right there. And I said, them people that goes out there to church don't even know what religion is. I said, there's a whole lot more than going to church and then just to get up there and testify and tell, try to fool the public. I said, you might fool the public, but you ain't going to fool the Lord. I said, he knows what you are before you get up there.
Where was that?
Over in Hawthorne.
Oh, was that the day you all went over to service your truck?
No, it was one day I went over there by myself to pay my light bill and phone bill and met up with him. We sure don't want to lose you all. Y'all are the main ones. I said, no, not me and Marvin.
Well, now, let me tell you, you may not have been the main ones inside the church. I think he was. But outside, she was just about the main one herself, Faye.
I thought so at that now.
Because they all come around and spoke to her.
Mm-hmm. It was Miss Mary's food that was the best.
Yes.
No.
Yes, it was. I heard people talk.
Yes, sir. So you just carry on outside and Mr. Will inside.
Mm-hmm. He's boss. Him and his sis.
But he didn't have anything to do with firing the old preacher.
Yeah, he did too. He went to the Orlando to the meeting.
Well, they done it together?
They done it together. They do it secretly.
What was the object?
Well, they just wanted Mr. Ellis in there.
Oh.
Because he's a good friend of him.
Oh. Does he live out in the neighborhood?
No, he lives in Gainesville.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I've heard of that. I've understood that. You got to consider all them things. Yeah. Well, we had a big time that day, didn't we? That Sunday.
Sure did.
Yes, sir. We had a good time. I saw more people that day and, you know, got to speak to them.
Leroy's coming home the 18th of this month. From Vietnam.
Yeah.
That's Rob's boy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I imagine they'll have a big fish fry for him. He's getting married.
Is he? Mm-hmm. Marlo kept his
headquarters over there, he didn't sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was in hopes he wouldn't let that get out, give it away.
Nice trailer.
Yeah. I was thinking about Leroy, you know, we saw him over there that day.
He ain't gonna give it away, that's for sure.
He not?
No, he wanted me to give him $5,000 for a half acre of land.
A half acre.
What's the matter with him?
Is that what it is? That's right next to you there. Is that the reason?
Well, you see, we let him have it. We sold it to him. And he said that if he ever sold it, he'd sell it back to us. And Mr. Guthrie asked him $100 for it. And he got $50. No, to get $50 out of it. Marlo wanted me to give him $5,000 for that half acre of land and $3,000 for the trailer.
Is it worth it?
The trailer's worth it, but that $5,000 for a half acre of land? If anybody would give me $5,000 an acre, I'd sell every foot I got over there.
Yeah.
He must think I am an idiot.
What? Don't he think very well of you?
Who, Marlo?
Uh-huh.
Why, he don't care no more about me than he does anybody else.
Well, he don't think you're flat-headed, does he?
I reckon he does.
Well, what did he think you wanted with it in the first place?
A half acre.
Just because it's next to you?
Just because he promised if he ever sold it would go back to us. $5,000 for a half acre.
And Mr. Guthrie just let him have that to accommodate him.
That's right. So we'd have neighbors.
Well, you still don't quite have neighbors, do you?
Don't have no neighbors.
He ain't ever there. He's on the road most of the time, isn't he?
That's right.
Well, now, what sort of life is that? I bet you he's up all hours of the night.
He is.
He don't know when it's daylight and when it's dark, except he probably sleeps in the day or not.
I really don't know. He's up in Georgia, you know.
Yeah.
Supposed to be catfishing.
See, this corn is old mule corn, but it sure does hit my
taste. Wasn't it good?
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
I never had anything but old mule corn most of my life.
How do you like it cut off and cooked? In corn oil.
It's all right.
I just love it, but you know, I never can make it taste right.
You can.
My mother can cook it so good.
Oh.
I bet you can.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just love corn.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about them cockroaches. I get up at night, can't go to sleep, and I come in here and sit down a lot of time and read the paper. I can't read at night. It makes my eyes water. I wished I had something to do when I couldn't go to sleep at night.
Get up and get in your car and ride around.
Well, then ain't anywhere I want to go.
Just go somewhere.
Do you ever do that?
Yes, ma'am. Go out in the past, ride the roads, look at the cows, asleep, bedded death.
That'd be all right. Just go back to the pasture. I wouldn't want to be out on the road much.
Uh-uh.
I never come through here at night out there, but what I don't see one of them big fellas. And I've got so they smell up lots of places, Ben. I try to get me a piece of paper or something and cover them up. But they can smell through that. And get them and take them outdoors. Squish them outdoors.
You don't take a chance, do you?
I'll kill him just the first time. I don't care if he stinks. I kill him. Get him out of doors.
Yeah. You know, there's most odors I don't care about. Barnyard odors, things like that, I never notice. But this Lysol, is that it for you?
Clorox.
I just can't buy that. And I don't like that cockroach odor.
I don't like Clorox odor either. And them old roaches.
Yeah. It seemed like that Clorox odor, I used to smell it mostly at mealtime, and then I couldn't taste my food.
Well, it's a disinfectant, isn't it?
Well, listen, now I'm going to ask y'all something.
Have to have some of this.
Mrs. Dodd talks to me like that they're liable to lose everything they got. Does she say anything like that to y'all?
No.
That's not enough.
Well, from what I can understand, the way she talks, they've got everything mortgaged.
Good Lord. It'd be awful, wouldn't it?
Be terrible. And I was over there the last time I was over there, Mr. Dodd called her and talked to her, and she said that he had tried to make a loan, another loan, and they wanted too much interest for something, and he couldn't do that. But the way she talks to me, like that they mortgaged everything that they had to get money, borrowing money to buy these cows.
Oh, gosh.
They sure. Poor cows. Hmm. When did she tell you that?
Oh, she was talking to me about it the last time I was over there. And she called me up one day last week and was telling me about it. And both the cars just broke down. She said that Bummer had the car having a... What is it? No, it weren't the housing, it was something else. Oh, I can't think of what it was now, but anyway, she said that was going to cost him a whole lot. Transmission put in it.
All right, costly. How about costly thing you can do in it? I never hear much about the business. Seemed like I heard from you or from her one. I never remember where I hear anything. Is these cows they bought, was the money they got out of that trailer that they sold down there in Ocala?
She must have told you.
You didn't tell me that?
No, sir.
But it wasn't I don't think that trailer would cover that cost.
I don't think so either. And she told me that when Grandpa died, I was over there that day, and Mr. Dodd was going to bury him here. And his brother called up and told him that he would bear all the expense burying if he came back down my line. So he said, I heard him say, all right, if you're going to bear the expense, all right. So Miss Dodd told me that when it was all put off onto them, that they had to pay it, every dime of it. But I can't understand why in the world they would have to mortgage their home. But she says that they liable to lose everything they got. Unless and it was to get money to finish that house.
They must have a lot of right smart of money and all that, Miss. Even though you do the work, all that equipment still costly. And they got nice stuff in that house. All them bathrooms.
And I'm going to tell you, people, me for one, I have to do with that lot of things that I'd like to have.
I hate to hear it.
I do too.
Well, I'd really suffer. I'd really miss them if anything happened to them, Miss Smith. They are such nice neighbors.
You?
And she works so hard, doesn't she?
Not too much.
Not really?
No, ma'am. She don't do anything.
Well, I guess maybe I...
Oh, didn't. Really?
When I see her, she's been out there somewhere with the cows or something.
She don't do much in the housework and stuff like that?
No, little old Bonnie does that.
Oh, is she smart?
She has it to do. But you know, it has just worried me. Just to think, supposing that they were in as bad a shape as she says they are and was to lose, wouldn't that be terrible?
It sure would.
That would just be awful.
They'll never get another place like that. Not where the price is now.
Hmm.
You know, them and me both got in just the right time. You see, if you'd been in there later, I'd been out of luck. But see, I bought this for a little over $100 an acre. A lot of difference between that and $500.
You might have right. I can't eat any more of this balls. It's good, but I'm full up.
But I tell you, when you start mortgaging things, that's dangerous.
Oh, yes. Going in debt.
It sure is. And when you miss paying your taxes.
That's dangerous. Now, you've always managed to pay your taxes.
Yes, sir. Thank the Lord I ain't never been behind.
And you made it a point to go down there and pay them taxes.
I sure did.
And when you pay them, you get a receipt.
That's right.
So there ain't going to be any slip-up on that.
I got the tax receipts that Mr. Guthrie's mother, when she paid the taxes, right on up. Up until I paid them this year, and I got the receipts for that.
And you keep them over there where you can get to them.
That's right. You know, when we went to... clear up that little piece of land up there between us and where Marvin's brother lives. Mrs. Janan told me to get up all my tax receipts. I had them in that $10. I just carried them up there and set them up there. She said, good Lord of mercy. He said, you've got tax receipts? I said, yes, ma'am, tax receipts that I don't know nothing about. Mr. Guthrie's mother paid them. Weren't but about $4 or $5.
Not then, yes. Ain't that nice, Faye, just to think about it.
How about that?
Yes, sir.
And now?
And a dollar and a half and $2.50.
But it's paid.
It's paid.
I guess more people have lost their property through that default in the tax. They get behind the tax first thing they know they're out. And you know, money has used to be hard to get. Fella just couldn't go to the bank and borrow money. That's the reason them bankers got so much land, wasn't it?
That's right. That's the reason why Pfeiffer companies got so much land. The containers now.
Yeah.
In Illinois.
Yeah.
But I know old home places after home places that old colored women like old late Emma Vinson and Aunt Hester Woodard. That's Woodard Coleman's aunt, I guess it is.
His aunt, yeah.
They was old slavery time people that lived around there, and there wasn't no welfare or nothing. And Pfeiffer Company would let them have maybe a dollar and a half worth of canned goods on a credit, and that's the way they got the. And J.E. Thrasher's daddy got a lot of it, too.
Yeah.
Like that.
And it wasn't just the colored folks.
That's right.
See, white folks just as ignorant as any.
That's
back in
right.
Them times. They trusted people. I think that's what it was. They trusted people. When did you start not trusting people?
Oh, just a few years ago.
Yeah.
That's right.
You got to where you just can't trust anybody now.
But most of your life, you never gave a thought.
You know, when I was sick here this last time, every day my telephone would ring. And it would be the sheriff, colored woman that lives just across the road. You know where you come in on the main road down here? You know where the new chain link fence is? Well, just across the road there, she lives there.
Oh, that's Frances Purser's old house.
That's right. And she never did ask me, could I come over and do something for you? She'd call me and tell me that Dr. Daly was going to bury me, that I was going to die. And ask me how I was getting along and tell me to quit Dr. Daly and what to do and this. And I told Marvin, I said, she's leading up to something. I don't know what it is, but she just fixing, she thinks she's going to get something out of me. So the last time I talked to her, she wanted to borrow some money from me. And I said, where do you think I got any money? She said, oh, you got it, and I know. I said, well, how do you reckon I got it? Where do you think I got it from? I don't know, but she says, I know you got it. And if I'd have thought about it, I'd ask her, well, how much do you want?
Yes.
But I told her, I said, no, I ain't got no money. I said, you ought to be letting me have some. I said, you got a big job up there at the university and your old man's cutting timber. I said, you ought to help me. And she ain't called me no more.
Yeah.
I never heard anything like that.
That's right.
You know, living out, the very worst thing a fella could do is appear to have little money.
That's right.
$20. You just don't want any money on them.
That's right.
Put it in your sock and hang it up out in the barn.
I don't have any.
Don't have any sock?
No money either. That's what worries me. I'm afraid somebody will think
they'll think it.
I have.
Yeah.
And they see your equipment around there and all this.
Now you, I brought up like that, and we never was suspicious of anybody.
Mm-mm.
Anybody, a perfect stranger, could come there and spend the night.
That's true.
Nobody think a thing about it.
There was a fella that happened up one day. He had a buggy and a horse to the buggy.
Yeah.
And he was a home comfort range man. He was selling stoves. Come there and wanted to sell us a stove, and I said, well, I've already got one. And he left, and pretty shortly he'd come back and want to know could he spend the night there. And Mr. Guthrie told him, why, sure. He put up his horse and fed him, and we kept the man. Next morning he got his horse after he got breakfast, hitched him up, and was on his way. But I wouldn't let
him. Never seen him before?
Never seen him before, never seen him since. But I wouldn't do that now.
And didn't ask him for any money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's times change, and they change so slow, and they change fast too. You know, you don't realize what's happened to you. You know, I know I can sit and talk a little bit, you know, and these things come to me. But just ordinarily, you know, I don't think about that part of it. Oh, that whole countryside up there, see, you wouldn't have any, wasn't anybody afraid anybody gonna come in and
Mm-mm.
do a thing.
Well, I used to at night, we never even thought about shutting our doors. We just leave the screen door. Night lights, a screen door, and leave the other doors wide open.
Yeah.
Never thought about anybody coming and bothering us.
Never
but now I'm scared in the daytime.
Yeah. Well, now you see, when I pull up there at anybody's house anymore, you see, I honk a little bit and make a little noise, so I won't slip up on them. But that's the reason, even right here in the country. Ms. What's his name? Ms. Dick, what's the watermelon man?
Wilkerson.
Yeah. I saw her two or three times that spring that they made the melons over there at the Dodds. And I used to sit out there and talk to Dick Wilkerson. And he was a good talker, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that surprised me was that she seemed to know just as much as he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, I didn't see much of him, but now that's the feeling I got.
He was it. He was quite a character.
Yes.
I wish I had known.
He had got into a little everything, hadn't he?
Hmm.
Now, what was it brought that up? You said that he had what was that say? Maybe
Marvin said he liked seeing anybody else make money.
No.
No, he just didn't want nobody else to get ahead of him. You know, one time, I reckon I told y'all about this, but I wish you could have been there and seen that. me and James, my James, had us some traps on the lake. We was out there just a fishing traps, and the game warden was up at the caraway place and had caught Dick and drove a kite. They were out putting out fish traps, and they sat out there and watched them. And McElwain come running up there, and he said, "Y'all better get yourselves off of the lake." Said the game warden's done got Dick. So I said, "Come on, get in the car, and let's go down there." We got in the car and rode down there, you know. And got down there, and they had got Dick's boat. Dick let them have his boat to go out there and hunt the traps. I said, "Dick, you ain't got a bit of sense." I said, "I wouldn't have let them jokers have my boat to go out there and hunt my fish traps." Oh, he said, just well let them go. They're going to get them anyway. But you know them boogers went out there and hunted Dick's fish traps, and they couldn't find them. But anyway, they carried Dick in. Dick had to meet court. And Dick had me as a witness. And the lawyer says, "Would you call yourself a sport fisherman?" I said, "Yes, sir, would." We had the most fun over that thing. You know old Dick come clear? He come clear. He beat him.
You testify, you witness for him?
Yeah. They asked me, they said, "Did you see Dick Wilkerson go out there and put out any fish traps?" I said, "No, sir. I hadn't got down there when he..." They said he was putting out his traps. And they said, "Well, did you see the game wardens go out there and hunt them?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Mr. Wilkerson let them have his boat." And they went out there and hunted them, and they couldn't find one.
You could have helped him a little.
Well, I told the truth.
But you could have helped the warden find him, didn't you?
And both of the wardens were standing there, you know, listening.
Yeah.
He's just listening, you know. Well, they knowed I didn't tell no falsehood, because I did. I sat out there and watched them go hunt the traps.
Yeah.
And they come in, they couldn't find them.
Now, what's his wife's name?
Tiny.
Tiny. Well, I never hear, I don't know her by that name. Is that what they call her?
That's her name.
That's her name?
That's her name.
And she thinks she's afraid of him now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she says she is.
You reckon they had it?
Oh yeah, they had it.
He let her know.
He had beams somewhere. I don't remember now where it was at. But Tiny's always been an awful jealous woman. And there was some white woman that she wouldn't go up to Winster and get on the truck. She met him down the road. He'd pick her up. And Tiny's colored woman that helped her would be on the truck, see? And Tiny was standing out there watching, you know, down the road, and seen Dick pick up this woman. So Johnny raised all manner of cane about it. And she asked this colored woman, she said, she's as black as the ace of spades, had big old eyes, and she said, did you see that woman? I wasn't looking that way, she said. I didn't see nobody get up on the truck. Don't ask me. Said, I wasn't looking that way. Said, now really, you know you're telling lies. Said, you know you seen. No, man, I didn't either. Don't ask me. I didn't see that woman.
She's in a bad, tough spot, wasn't she? you miss old Dick Wilkerson.
Mm-hmm. I like Dick.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on a natural. He didn't want anybody to make more money than he did.
Yes.
He was one of the best farmers that ever farmed.
Oh, he was really a farmer?
Yes, sir. That man could sure make the stuff. Now, I'm telling you. He made the best watermelons that of anybody I ever knowed grow watermelon. And he always made good money. Anything that he put his hands to seemed like it grew good.
Yes. And then he could get his money out of it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
She help him?
Do it?
Did Tiny help him?
Oh, no. She didn't have nothing to do with this farming.
Just there, when after he got a little bit ailing,
mm-hmm.
She helped him there the last year or so. Or at least went around with him, or drove him, or something.
Yeah. Well, last time I talked to Dick, we was at the Winn-Dixie store. And he said, you know, I want to go fishing so bad, hunting so bad, I don't know what to do. And he said, you know, I wished I hadn't never seen my old lady. I said, oh, you shut up, Dick. You know better than that. He said, well, she makes me so mad. Says she won't let me go a-hunting. And I said, well, Dick, she loves you. And she's afraid something will happen to you. Because the doctors knew, you know, that you had something wrong with his heart. And didn't want him to go off by himself.
Yeah.
I said, she just loves you and she wants to try to take care of you. Well, he said she could let me go a-hunting. He was mad about it, you know. Why?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Did he ever go to the doctor?
Yeah.
He did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he knew...
He went to Dr. Strange that evening and he died.
Well, I said a doctor.
Well, he went to Dr. Strange that evening.
Yeah.
He done at a Macintosh and got him some medicine.
Yeah.
And Tiny left him and went to Ocala to her daughter's. And Dick went on home.
Yes.
And when she went home, she found him dead.
See, you don't go to you go that other doctor.
You got, Daily?
Yes. He you got a better shot. You got a better chance to survive. Yeah. Oh, he's this doctor over your doctor over there, he's put a lot of people through.
Well, they got so many more. See, there's more doctors over there.
Sure. Oh, yes.
You see, I had been to Dr. Daly twice.
Yeah.
And he had diagnosed my case, you know, taking all kind of tests and all. Well, I wasn't, say, particular sick when I went to him, but I just felt so bad, and I just didn't want nobody to bother me.
Yeah.
And then on a Friday night, I got bad off. I was up all night long, and I was sick.
Just like that.
So Marvin called him about daylight, and he said, bring me into the emergency room. Well, he had a foreign doctor. And the foreign doctor then, while he taking my case, you know, he diagnosed it. And then I had Dr. McCullum, I believe it was. Oh, there was three more doctors from Gainesville. And they took a cartogram, and I don't know what all kind of testes.
Mm-hmm. That was when you was up there at Dr. Casey's?
No, I was in Williston.
I was in Williston?
Mm-hmm.
And them doctors come over there from Gainesville?
Sure.
Well, Miss Mary, you were sick.
I was. My blood pressure was, they said I was just before having a stroke. And this year, a foreign doctor couldn't talk to me. He'd have to talk to the nurse, and the nurse would tell me and then tell him what I said.
Yeah.
And Dr. Daly said he wanted me to admit it in the hospital. And so they put me to bed. And I slept all day long.
Yeah.
I didn't know nothing till way sometime that night.
They knocked you out.
Mm-hmm. He said he wanted me to rest on account of bringing my blood pressure down. It was so high.
Yeah. Whatever happened to your back? Last time I saw you, it was your back.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just got better. I take medicine till it got better.
I never heard of anybody's back getting better from taking medicine.
It did.
That's just wonderful.
I thought you was in for it. And it's down there in the lower part of your back, like...
No, it was up here in between my shoulders, where them bones had slipped.
Yes. You mean you took medicine for that?
Yeah, I'm taking it right now.
Yeah.
Bone building medicine.
Oh, is it such?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's Dr. Daly.
Yes, ma'am. And the other day when I was down there, I carried all my medicine. I got 4 or 5 bottles that I'm taking. And I carried them in there, and I showed him. And he said, okay. He said, you're on the up to up now. He said, we're going to change your medicine. We're not going to make it so severe. And he told me, he said, carry your medicine bottles. Give them to the druggist. And he'll know what to give you. So I carried him in. We come by there and give him to him. And he said, well, he told me what each one was for. He said, don't take this one no more. And don't take this one no more. But he said, your bone building medicine, he said, we got to continue with that. He said, you take it right on and my arthritis medicine. And my nerve pills. And I called Dr. Daly the other day and told him about having the cramp so bad in my legs. And so the nurse said, well, he's real busy now, but said he'll call you back after a while. So he did. He called me. And I told him about having the cramp. And he said, well, you go down to the drugstore. Tell the druggist I said to call me. And I'll send you something for it.
When was that?
I believe it was last Tuesday.
That's a doctor worth having.
Did it help you?
Yes, sir. It sure did.
Well, the thing of it is, you see, he'll take her ahead of a lot of people.
No, he won't.
Because you've known him so long. Nah,
that don't make any difference. I'm just a patient. Oh. When it comes to doctoring, I'm just a patient.
Oh, he knows you. That's a lot of difference.
He'd take you just as quick as he would me. That's right.
Oh, and he knows your history, you see. He don't even have to look it up.
Well, that you know, he does. You know, it's good to have somebody who knows you. I mean, knows about you.
Yeah. How did you all get a hold of this carpenter you're talking about? Let me turn that fan on.
He come by the house and wanted me to take the Tampa Tribune, and I told him, no, sir, I weren't able to take no paper.
This is towards the end of Channel 1, right? Continuation of the visit with Ms. Guthrie this Monday, the 14th of June, 1971. Channel 1, right? The end of Channel 1, right? And the end and the continuation of the visit with Ms. Guthrie this Monday, the 14th of June, 1971. The end of Channel 1, right? And the continuation of the visit with Ms. Guthrie this Monday, the 14th of June, 1971.